I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. This is called the wisdom literature. You read Proverbs, you'll be wise. At least if you do it. If you do what you read, you'll be wise. Got to be doers, not just hearers. But Proverbs chapter 1 will be my text today. In verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains," the word means a necklace, you know, something decorative and beautiful, "and chains about thy neck." What would be that? The instruction of your father, the law of your mother, the words of a mother and father. You know, it's Father's Day, so I would like to talk a little bit about fathers. I had the honor, the privilege of having a good father, as many others have had. Some did not have that privilege. Some didn't have a father, as our sister shared a little while ago. Some, maybe their father wasn't so good, or maybe not a very kind or loving person. You know, in the generation of my father and his father before him, they really weren't very affectionate or emotional type people. Right. It wasn't considered manly to be that way. A man was very staid, reserved, unemotional. You know, emotions was for women. But men were not supposed to be emotional. And so most of them really weren't. And if you had a father who didn't really express his emotions very much, don't hold it against them. They thought that's how fathers were supposed to be. It doesn't mean necessarily that he wasn't a kind or loving or gracious man, as you know, just maybe unable to express his emotions. I've known many such men to this day who have a difficult time expressing their emotions, especially those from more of, I don't know, some certain cultures, the men were just the machismo, you know, that's the way they're supposed to be. Macho man, and they not very emotional, I guess you'd say. But even my dad, at times, I think, had trouble showing his emotions. But the Lord got a hold of him, you know. And you know what the Lord does? He just melts you into a big puddle of grace and changes your life. But I would like to talk a little bit today about, from Proverbs, a message I'm titling, Advice from a Wise Father. Advice from a Wise Father. I have learned that not all fathers gave their children good advice. True. That was illustrated to me recently when a fella that I know and have known for a long, long time, a fellow who had a real rocky life, had multiple marriages, married again not too long ago, and married a good woman. And I really thought he was going to have a good, stable life from then on, because it seemed like things were going to go well for him. And his wife loved him, and things were going well. And then recently, I learned he had left his wife and had taken up with another woman. And I want you to hear the logic of why he did what he did. When asked, why would you leave your wife? What happened to you? He said, "My dad told me never to pass up an opportunity to go to bed with a woman." That was his father's advice to him. Never pass up an opportunity to get another woman. And so here he is, 5 divorces later, still following his father's advice. Not all fathers give good advice. Well, you know, he left behind and leaves behind a trail of broken lives, hearts, marriages, children. And look, I know others to this day who are following their dad's godless advice, and continuing to make a wreck of their lives. Like the person whose dad told him, religion is for women. That's what his dad told him. Religion's for women. Church is for women. If you're a good person, you don't need church. You know, that's good enough. If you're a good person, that's good enough. Well, if you really were a good person, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on a cross. You know, well, you wouldn't need Jesus. But the fact is, you need Jesus. And to say that you don't means you're the biggest buffoon of them all.
That's right.
To think that you're good enough to enter God's heaven by your own merits, when the Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one, none that understands, none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There's none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
You realize when you say, I'm a good person, that you don't need church, you don't need God, you're saying, I don't need what you did, Jesus. I don't need you, Jesus. I'm good enough on my own. That's really bad advice.
Amen.
Bad advice to pass down to anybody. I know of fathers who taught their children to lie. I know of fathers who taught their children to steal, taught their children to cheat, to get over on people any way they could. I know fathers who taught their children to do drugs, who taught their children how to drink, be a man, how to drink. Not all fathers gave good advice.
True.
But fathers don't have the monopoly on giving bad advice, because I've heard of some mothers who've given their daughters terrible advice as well. We know one lady whose mother told her, I knew the mother, knew the daughter, and her mother told her, you marry a man for money. You don't worry about love, you don't worry about looks, you don't worry about God, you marry for money.
Wow, how
shallow. Yeah. Pretty shallow.
Amen.
Another woman, I read about this one. I thought it was, it's sad and hilarious at the same time. This mother told her daughter, marry an ugly man because he will never leave you. He will never leave you. And if you ever leave him, if you ever choose to leave him, you'll have the satisfaction of knowing he was ugly anyway. That's a mother's advice. You know, they used to have an old song, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life. Nah, I didn't follow that advice. But you know, it's not supposed to be about looks. It's not supposed to be about money. Love should be in the equation somewhere. And not just the thing that, you know, well, I think I could live with her. But it's the thing that, you know I can't live without her. You know, but being Father's Day, I thought I'd go to the scriptures today and give us some good advice from a wise father. Right here in Proverbs chapter 1, I want you to notice how this verse starts in verse 8 when the writer to the Proverbs, who, by the way, happens to be Solomon, if you look back to verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it's the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon, what Solomon are they talking about? The son of David, the king of Israel.
Amen.
You know, Solomon, he lived a nice long life, many, many years. And when he was king, especially in his younger days as king, he was a wise, godly, fair ruler of the kingdom. And he wrote according to the scriptures, 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. So, you know, not all of the proverbs were inspired, obviously, because they weren't all preserved. But almost everything you read in the book of Proverbs was written by him. There are exceptions. Chapter 30 was written by Agur, and chapter 31 by King Lemuel. We'll turn there in just a minute. But notice he says here, there's about 25 times in the book of Proverbs, approximately that many, when he starts a verse with this, like in verse 8, my son, those two words, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. My son. So we're going to be looking at some of these my son passages where he gives his son, he passes on godly advice, the advice of a father to his son. By the way, there are numerous passages that tell us that the Proverbs were written by Solomon. Proverbs 10:1, Proverbs 25:1, they all say it was the Proverbs of Solomon. But I want you to look with me quickly, if you would, to chapter 31. Keep your finger here, I'm coming back to chapter 1. But I want you to notice something in chapter 31. It says this was written by Lemuel. Chapter 31 and verse 1 says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now the Hebrew word Lemuel means belonging to God. King Lemuel, who belonged to God. He's relating here his mother's advice. Notice. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Mother's advice. There are many who believe that Lemuel is actually another name for King Solomon. That it may have been his mother's affectionate name for him. That she called him that, belonging to God. And that this would be the advice of Bathsheba to her son Solomon. And look, this is some good advice. In chapter 31, when she says, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Notice verse 3. Here's some good advice. Don't chase women. Now, you know, she prophetically knew her son needed this advice. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. That's good advice. That's better advice than that other father gave his son that I told you about. She's telling her son just the opposite. Notice, here's another one. She warns him against the danger of drinking. Verse 2, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. A drunken king is not a wise king. A drunken king is not a fair ruler. They have impaired judgment. They pervert justice. They act lawlessly. You don't want to stand before a bench with a drunk judge, do you?
No.
You don't think you're going to really find fairness, justice, righteousness? No. So she tells her son, who is king, a mother to the king, to her son, it's not for kings to be drunkards. To drink strong drink. You will pervert justice. You will not be wise. You will not be fair. You know, it's important to be right, to be wise, to be fair, to be just.
Amen.
To be able to hear both sides of a matter so that your judgment is not impaired, right?
That's right.
Look at this other advice. Stand up for true justice for all. Verse 8 and 9. Open your mouth Verse 8, for the dumb, those who don't have a voice, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Boy, this is good advice for a king. Oh, it's a wise mother who gave this advice. Son, listen to the plea and the plight of all, including the poor, including those who have no one to stand up for them, can't even afford an advocate, a lawyer. Some are so poor they can't afford anyone to plead their case. They could be easily oppressed and taken advantage of. Son, you are a king. Listen to the voices of those whose voices aren't heard anywhere else. Hear the plea, the plight of the needy, the weak, the orphan, the widow. Do justly. Be fair. Do not be a respecter of persons. What great wisdom. Consider all men and all women equals. Don't you favor the rich over the poor. Don't you favor the mighty over the weak. What great wisdom. There have been good and godly mothers and fathers. And what I love about this, whoever Lemuel was, and perhaps he was Solomon himself, Lemuel, I like thinking that this is the words of Bathsheba to her son Solomon that would instruct him in a way of righteousness. Well, back to chapter 1. I want us to look at some of these my son passages. Verse 8 and 9. My son, Proverbs 1, verse 8, hear the instruction of your father, forsake not the law of your mother. Here's good advice, number one, listen to your mother and father. Seems like there's one of the Ten Commandments that kind of starts that way. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What is that promise? That it may be well with thee and that you would live long on the earth. Remember when we taught how to remember the Ten Commandments, easy ways to remember the Ten Commandments? Number 5 was stay alive. That's right. Number 5, stay alive. How do you stay alive? You honor your mother and your father, the Bible says, which comes with a promise, long life. And, you know, obviously implied good life, long life, good life. Stay alive. You want to stay alive? You honor your mother and father. The best way you can honor a godly mother and father, listen to them. You know they're not as stupid as you think. Amen. Isn't it something how the older your kids get, the wiser they realize mom and dad was?
Yeah, you're right.
Because when you're young, you really think mom and dad, they don't know anything.
That's true.
And they so old-timey, old-school, old-fashioned, they don't know. They don't realize this is a new generation. Which has been said for every generation since Adam and Eve, you know. The godly advice of a godly father and a godly mother is timeless. It's timeless. It surpasses all generations, all times, all nations. It has no barriers. But you know, when you're young, it's hard to listen to old people, because you know, you just are so smart, and they just don't know much. But timeless advice. Think of all of the grief you might have spared yourself had you listened to mom and dad.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. I could have spared me some grief. I could have spared them some grief had we only listened. But how about this? Here's some more timeless advice. Chapter 2, if you look over here, here's another my son passage. Chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. What's the advice in this passage, son? Seek godly wisdom. Amen. Seek godly wisdom. Here is some great advice. You know, one of the key verses in Proverbs, there are three or four key verses in Proverbs. One of them is Proverbs 4 and verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve from them. Get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding. Here he says it, get wisdom, seek wisdom. Verse 5 of chapter 2 is a key verse. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You will find the knowledge of God. You'll know God. You know what? There is nothing greater that a father can advise their children, can tell their children. You need to know God.
Amen.
More important than anything else, son. More important than anything else, daughter. You must know God. You must know God. Not just about God, but know God. Know him personally. You know, if you're here today, I'm going to assume that you had a personal born-again experience. I'm going to assume that at some point in your life, you came to a place where you met the Lord and you asked him to forgive you of your sins and you invited him into your heart. That your knowledge of God isn't secondhand, that you just, I'm going to church because my mama went to church, or I'm going to church because it's a special day, or whatever. But you know, there are multitudes who have a secondhand knowledge of God. It's not personal.
Amen.
They just go to church because they believe it's what you should do, I guess. Mom and Dad did it. I guess I should too.
Right.
Or it seems like it's something that we ought to do. But here is this father's advice. You will know the knowledge. You'll know the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. We need to know the Lord personally. I like what Job said, Job chapter 42. He said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Amen.
You come to know God, you meet God, you see God. You're no more flippant. You're no more cocky.
Amen.
You are broken. And like Job, I see you, even if you see him with the eyes of faith. You see what he did for you on Calvary's cross. You see that you were a sinner deserving of death. And you see that his blood has cleansed you of all sin. And you recognize that apart from his grace, you would be eternally banished, eternally banned from his presence. When you see, then you abhor yourself. You realize what a wretch you are. And you repent. The idea of repenting in dust and ashes is in the Jewish way, they would fall on the ground and put dust on their heads. It was a sign of contrition, of repentance, of brokenness.
Amen.
You know, I do believe that a person who meets God, who actually meets God, is a broken person.
You're right.
Not proud and arrogant. You're a broken person because you know that but for the grace of God, you would be hellbound. You would still be blind and in your sins. The fear of God and the knowledge, when he talks about here in verse 5, you will find the knowledge of God, who he is and what he did for you.
Amen.
That's the good advice of a father. I like 3 John 4. This is a great verse. If you're a parent, then you can identify with the aged apostle John when he says in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Amen.
No greater joy than that. knowing my children walk in truth, that they walk in truth. He doesn't say, I have no greater joy than knowing that my children have become a success in this world.
Right.
It's not what he says. I have no greater joy than knowing that my son has achieved fame or that my daughter has achieved riches. That's not what the Bible says. Because fame is fleeting, riches disappear. The Bible says riches make themselves wings, they fly away. But the knowledge of God will bring us into eternity. I have no greater joy than the joy of hearing that my children walk in truth. The truth of God's word, the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what the bottom line is? We don't care if our children attain riches.
Right.
A godly parent doesn't care.
Nope.
If they attain riches or if they just live a barely get by life all of their life. Of course, we want them to do good in this world. But more importantly, we want them to walk with the Lord.
Amen.
We want them to be saved, to have the knowledge of God, to be born again servants of Christ and their lives counting for something eternal,
yes.
Not just something in this world, this perishing world that's so soon to pass away.
Yes.
I don't care if my children ever live in a gigantic house in an exclusive neighborhood and
right.
admired by their peers. I don't care about that.
Right.
But I do care if they have a home in heaven, a reservation in heaven. Another key verse in all of Proverbs is Proverbs 1 and verse 5, which says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's one of the key verses. We're talking about wisdom, listening to sound advice, good wisdom. And look, here is yet another piece of advice from a wise father. This one, chapter 1 and verse 10. Beware of bad company.
Amen.
Proverbs 1 verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let's lay wait for blood. Let's lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let's swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, you hear the my son advice? He says in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, consent not. He says it again, verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, that takes away the life of the owners thereof. Well, our parents used to have an old expression, and I'm sure you all heard it. It's like this, birds of a feather flock together. Birds of a feather flock together. That's right. So you know what, son? You want to stay out of trouble? You don't hang out with bad people. And you tell your daughters, you tell your son. Isn't this good advice? Hey, all my friends are doing it. How many times did you advise your children about who they associate with? And you know, the kids, they're so foolish. They're so gullible. Something attracts them to young rebels, it seems like. You know,
yeah.
Oh, all my friends do drugs, Dad. All my friends are smoking dope, but I don't. You hang around with them, and they all smoking dope, but you don't. That's right, Dad. Yeah. You know what you don't see? You don't see an owl hanging out with a sparrow. You know, owls eat sparrows, right? Oh, yeah. They're predators. Owls will eat anything smaller than it. You don't see lambs hanging out with wolves. If you're a lamb, that day's coming. But if you're a lamb in this world, what are you doing running with the wolves? You know you're going to get eaten up, right? You know you're going to be devoured. Do you know how many parents through the years we've had to console because their son or their daughter was hanging out with the wrong crowd? And when those kids got arrested, their kid got arrested too. Guess what if you're riding in the car with people who have drugs on them? Guess who's going to jail? You're all going to jail. And then you can explain it to the judge when you get a chance. Because first, you're going to probably spend 90 days in the pokey before you even get a chance. And after that, you may spend, you know what? Sometimes people spend 6 months, 9 months in jail before they even get a fair hearing. Look, our justice system, broken. And if you don't have money, you're going to spend a lot of time in jail. Because, you know why? Because you didn't listen to this. You hung out with the wrong people. That's a good verse. Bad company corrupts good moral. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. King James says, evil communications corrupt good manners. But, you know, it's kind of archaic language. What it actually says is, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around with the bad, wrong crowd, you going down with them. The people you hang with influence you. Bottom line. And you know that applies to us too. Guess what? If you hang out with unbelievers, if that's the crowd of your choice, it affects you. You hang out with people who are rebellious towards God, rebellious towards, say, church, got a bad attitude towards church, they influence you. Who you listen to, who you hang with, they have an influence on you. Here's some more good advice. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look over here with me, if you would. Advice from a wise father. My son, verse 1, Proverbs 3, verse 1. I turned to the wrong passage. Here you go. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Basically, he's telling his son, son, keep the rules. Obey the law. Don't be a rebel. Amen. Don't be a rebel. Rebels, you know, they want to stretch the boundaries. They want to be defiant. He's telling his son, keep the rules, son. Don't forget my law, my instructions, my teachings. Don't stretch the rules. You want a good life? You see what he talks about here? Length of days, verse 2. Long life, peace they will add to you. Don't you want long life, good life, peace? Don't you want peace? Keep the rules. Obey the Lord. It's so simple. You would find peace. And heed what you've heard. I mean, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. You know, right. We Americans, I think we have rebellion in our DNA. Our country was founded on rebellion against the King of England. But, you know, the rebellion of Americans goes way, way back to our ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve. Yeah. Yeah. Who rebelled against the Lord, right? Amen. And we have to constantly check ourselves to make sure that what we're listening to, what we're following, really is what the Lord said, and not just what people say, not people's opinions or values or their own thoughts on matters. Right. Remember, you stay with the Word of God, you'll be safe. Stay with the Word of God, always. Here's some more advice, right here in chapter 3. My son, verse 11, notice over here. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Here's some good advice. Son, take your correction like a man. If you've done wrong, you know, the Lord will chastise us. But, you know, even in life, we have to learn, when we do wrong, we have to learn to apologize.
That's right.
We have to learn to admit that we were wrong, and we have to be sincere about it. We have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. You know, this is good advice from a father to a son. Son, admit your mistakes. Don't lie. Don't cover them up. Don't blame somebody else. Don't try to shrug it off as no big deal. You did wrong. Admit your mistakes. Takes a big man to admit his mistakes. Takes a big man to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. But some of the best advice I ever personally got was from my own father, who said the same thing. He said, you mess up, you fess up. Mess up, fess up. Don't you try and hide it. Don't you try and cover it. Don't you try and pass it off on somebody else. You know, I was good at blaming my brother for it. But you mess up, you fess up. You did it, you admit it. And you know, this goes even further, this principle, because what it implies is that you remain humble and teachable. Because if you can admit wrong, that's a big man who can admit he was wrong. Admit it to others, admit it to your teacher, admit it to your spouse, admit it to your kids.
Right.
If you're correctable and teachable, then that shows you are not a child. Because children, you know, they throw their tantrums, they do not know how to apologize.
That's right.
Get rid of the pride, get rid of the ego, the sense of importance and machismo, and you confess, you mess up, you fess up.
Amen.
Don't be like some, because some of these fathers, man, they tell their sons, you got to make people respect you, son. You got to make them respect you. And if they don't, well, you make them respect you. Well, the biblical view is that you show respect to others. You show respect. And if they don't respect you, well, God bless them. You pray for them. You love them. You turn the other cheek. You go the second mile. Y'all awake?
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God anyhow.
That's right.
Here's some more advice. Y'all hanging with me?
Yeah.
Chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. I like these my son verses. You could preach on these a long time because there's a bunch of them. Proverbs chapter 5. He says, son, be faithful to your wife. My son, Proverbs 5. Attend to my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion, that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, he's talking here about strange being another woman, not your wife, you know, an adulterous woman. He says, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. They can look so enticing. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Look, this is some strong advice. He goes down, verse 20. Notice verse 20. Why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why would you do this? Verse 15. Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Verse 16, let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets, let them be thine only, and not a stranger's with thee. And look at verse 18 and 19. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Solomon's advice to his son: be faithful to your wife. Regard her for what she is, son, a treasure to you. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. One version translates that verse: a man's greatest treasure is his wife. She is a gift from the Lord. The Septuagint, by the way, adds to that verse. It says not only that whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord, but it says, he who casts out a good wife casts away that which is good, and he that keeps an adulteress is foolish and ungodly. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. The idea is you get married, son, and you be happy with your wife. Don't have a wandering eye or a wandering heart. Don't let your eyes look on other women. Why would you look on a stranger? You keep your eyes and your heart and your affection on your wife. Let me tell you, that is great advice.
Amen.
Great advice for a father to a son, or a mother to a son, a mother to a daughter. It's great advice. You save yourself a world of grief.
Yep.
People want, you know, they always want what's on the other side of the fence, because the grass is greener on the other side, they think. But the fact is, the grass is greener where you water it.
You're right. Amen.
I know that this is a broken world today. Yeah. As Brother Joe shared Wednesday night about this being a broken world and broken lives and so many broken people, broken hearts, broken homes. This gives us the ideal of what should be. And to many today, this ideal seems like it's more of a fantasy or a fairy tale than what is actually possible. But you know, you can be a good husband or a good wife right now. And if you're unmarried, then you can be a good man or a good woman right now. And you can be faithful right now. Whether married or unmarried, you can be faithful, you can be godly, and you are complete in Him. Let's remember what the Bible tells us, Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him. All right, here's some more godly advice. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son, beware of debt. If you be surety for thy friend, if you've stricken your hand with a stranger, you're snared with the words of your mouth, you're taken with the words of your mouth. He says, do this now, my son, deliver yourself when you are come to the hand of thy friend. Go, humble yourself, make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver yourself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. You know what he's saying here? If you've made unwise debt, get out of it as fast as you can. And in particular, if there's a debt that's worse than going into personal debt. And I'm not talking here just about a sin debt. But there is a debt that's worse than you personally going into debt to buy something. And you know what that is? Co-signing for somebody else's debt. He's talking here about being surety for your friend. Guess what that means? You have all the burdens of the debt and none of the benefits of it. You see, if you buy something and you go into debt for yourself because, well, you know, I don't have much choice here. I've got to buy me a car. So it's the only way I can afford it right now. So you go into debt, but at least you get the benefit of the car.
That's right.
Right? There's some benefit. Now, you have to pay for it. If you find yourself in debt, then your goal is to pay for it as quickly as possible. But if you co-sign, that's not smart. Even the Bible tells us, don't do that.
Amen.
My son, just a word of a father's advice. Co-signing, not smart. Why? You get all the burden of the debt. Because guess who? Guess who's responsible? You responsible. But guess who doesn't get to use the car?
You.
Right? So they get to use it and abuse it and let it break down, and then they have to miss the payment. And guess whose credit gets ruined? And guess who gets the phone calls at night? And that's right.
Amen. Yes.
Proverbs 22 says, verse 4, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. All right, here's another piece of advice. I want to move along here. Proverbs 19, we're going to go all the way to the back here, Proverbs, or towards the back. Proverbs chapter 19, let's look at a piece of timeless advice over here. Verse 27, I like this verse. I quote it often. A father's advice. I call this one, this is kind of the Brother Rusty paraphrase. Quit listening to stupid people. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Quit listening to stupid people. Cease, my son. The idea is stop an action that's already going on. Stop listening to these people, whoever they may be. I think this is great advice. You quit listening to marriage advice from the guy that's been divorced 5 times. Quit listening to, worldly advice from miserable human beings. You know, these are the people who spread misery everywhere they go. That just, why would you listen to them? Quit listening to life advice from ungodly people. Remember Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to ungodly people.
That's right. Amen.
So, quit listening to stupid people. Quit listening to your stupid friends if they advise you to do stupid stuff. And you know, a lot of them do. Hold this. See, let me see if I can shoot this out of your hand with my bow and arrow. Okay. The kid who come home with his head all bloody and a big knot on his head, and his mama said, what happened? He said, a brick fell on me. Well, how did that happen? Well, George said, throw it up in the air. See how high I can throw it.
Yeah.
Maybe your friend forgot to tell you you should run after you throw it up in the air. Look, I have seen videos of people. I've never done this myself, but I've seen people trying to hunt geese, or maybe it was ducks, with a bow and arrow. And they were laying in a field, and when they flew overhead, they would shoot them or shoot at them. And then they would have to jump up and run because the arrows are coming down. Yeah, there's smarter things to do, you know. Your friend says, hey, go stick that screwdriver in the socket over there. You got to quit listening to stupid people. And you know what else? This has a religious bearing as well. Quit listening to people who preach heresy. Quit listening to people who are preaching religious error. Why would you give your ear over to these people? They're heretics. And even though they may say a few things that are right, they say a lot of things that are wrong. And they influence you. They affect you. And you start thinking, you hear them say a couple things that don't sound too bad, you might think, man, you know, this guy's pretty good. When you are being set up, you know, imbibing poison every time you listen to them. Stop listening to that. Sometimes you even have to stop listening to your own stupid voice when it says, when it gives you bad advice, you know, because you know what you listen to? Sometimes the voice of your own flesh when it justifies you being angry at somebody. But you keep replaying why you're angry over and over. I'm angry because of what they said. I'm angry because of what they did. And you listen to your own stupid self. Justify your own bitterness and resentment and the bad will you feel towards somebody else. Amen. Remember, our delight is in the law of the Lord and what He says. Amen. He says we've been forgiven, so we must forgive. Amen. We are loved. We should love.
Amen.
One last piece of advice here. This one from Proverbs chapter 24. Verse 21. My son, Proverbs 21:24. How's this for great advice? 20, that's what I said. That's what I meant. 24:21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin of them both? Fear the Lord. Fear the Almighty. Proverbs 1:7 is considered probably the key verse in all of Proverbs, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Perhaps it is the key verse in all of the book, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Fear God. Fear Him. I know to most people in the world, they don't understand what the fear of God actually is. I think it's summed up pretty good in Hebrews chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but it says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear, that's the fear of God. Reverence. We revere God. We hold Him in godly respect and fear. Because Hebrews 12:29 says our God is a consuming fire. You know, one of the things that's lacking in 21st century America is a fear of God.
Amen.
No fear of God, no fear of consequences of sin. And as a result, people give themselves to all sorts of ungodliness with no regard to the consequences. But if we fear God, if we have this knowledge of God, this wholesome fear and respect for God, then we would love Him, we would thank Him for all that He's done for us, you know, saving us, dying on a cross for us, washing us, cleansing us, keeping us, filling us with His peace, walking with us every step of our journey, never leaving or forsaking us, no matter how stupid we've been. Then a wholesome fear of God, a wholesome reverence for God abides in our heart. Proverbs 1:7, that's the beginning of all true wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. A biblical fear of God also means that we would hate sin. You hate sin, you want to stay far from sin because you know that it grieves God. And it separates us from God.
Amen.
A fear of God causes us to walk humbly, causes us to be gracious and merciful towards others. The Bible is so full of passages on the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13, listen to this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That's the fear of the Lord. You hate evil. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Job 28:28, to man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Fear of the Lord, that's what wisdom is. Psalms 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. And how about this one? Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And one last verse, Psalms 34:9. O fear the Lord, ye he his saints, ye his saints, for there is no lack to them that fear him. Good advice. Fear God. But you know, he doesn't quit there. He also says, fear the king. That means respect the king, whoever he or she may be. Yes, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Fear the king. That our idea there is we have to hold them in respect simply because they are the king or the president or the chairman or whatever they call it, prime minister. We are to hold them in respect and pray for them, as Scripture says. Amen. Father, help us, Lord, we pray, to follow godly advice, godly counsel, the counsel of your infallible word. And we thank you today, Lord, for fathers, for good and godly fathers, whoever they are, for good and godly stepfathers who are doing a difficult job. We thank you, Lord, for these men. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for all of us. Help us to be good examples. Help us to be good men, good husbands, good friends, good and faithful servants of the Most High God. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen.